Now, here, there's a machlekes in Chazal as to when the incident of Yisro occurred. I don't know exactly how to explain the machlekes. Either it was at one time or at another time. But there is a mandomar that the parsha of Yisro that was said was, as it is in the chronology of the Torah, was before Matan Torah. But there is a mandomar, there is an opinion in Chazal, that what we read about Yisro at the beginning of this parsha really took place subsequent to the giving of the Torah. Yisro came lachar Matan Torah, or at least this parsha of Yisro was after Matan Torah. Now, once we say that the Torah is not beholden to a chronology, still, the connection or the juxtaposition of different parshas suggests a connection between them. Now here, we ended, or we concluded is a better word, we concluded last week's parsha with the last nine psukim being Vayovo Amalek, because in Refidim, our level of faith was a bit below par. We said, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Imoyin, is the Shem Havaya among us or not? And then when we lost faith, the message was, you lose faith, war, Amalek comes and battles with us in Refidim. So those are the two last issues in the previous Parsha. Now suddenly we read about Yisro. Now if Yisro chronologically was not now, it was after Matan Torah, why is it written here? There must be some connection. So on one hand, we're not beholden to chronology in the order that things are written. However, the different things that we hear, that we read, are connected. So here, let's see if we'll see some explanation here. So Hadohu Dichsiv. So the lecturer of the Midrash brings a pasuk in Mishlei and he darshens it, maybe on something else, and then he'll swing back to the parsha. We'll find out. We're just used to the style by now, so this is what we should be looking for. Whether we'll find it or not, I don't know. We'll have to learn and find out. So Shlomo HaMelech gives us a good piece of advice in Mishlei. Many, but one of the good pieces is, Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazov. Your ally, your friend, as well as the friend of your father, you should not forsake them. Now, what is that referring to? Who's forsaking whom here? So he says, Re'acha zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is your ally is a reference to Hashem. K'ma da'atomar, like we have a pasuk, we all know it, L'man achai v'reyoi, that Hashem says, for the sake of my brothers and my friends. So it's a two-way street. Hashem calls us reyoi, so he's also reyoi. That's one way that I would read it over here. That the Ruach HaKodesh, and this the Marzav also explains, the Ruach HaKodesh refers to the Klal Yisrael as Reyoi. So if we're Reyim, I'm not your Reya, and you're not my Reya. That's something by definition that we're both Reyim to each other. So if Hashem calls you Re'ai, or the Ruach HaKodesh calls you Re'ai, that means that Hashem is also your Re'a. Now, who is Zera of? I'm sorry, Re'a Avicha, V'Re'a Avicha. That is who is the father that we're talking about. That friendship should also not be abandoned or forsaken. That refers to Avram Avinu. Zera Avram. That Avram is also called in Yeshaya, Shenemar Zera Avram Oyavai. The progeny of Avram, my beloved. So it says, Al Tazov, don't forsake their friendships. Don't forsake your relationship with those who are your friends and to whom the feeling is or should be mutual. The imosafta, if God forbid somebody does leave this or does abandon this reut, this friendship, so teindaitcha shelaitikonis levei sochicha. Give, make, take, you know, bear in mind that you shouldn't enter your brother's home. If you leave your father's home, don't go to your brother. Huh? Maybe your brother's a great guy. Maybe he's good for you. Some people have feuds with their fathers, and the brothers are good peacemakers or good forestallers of bigger trouble. They just are a good buffer. So this isn't a general rule about everyone. So question is, who does it refer to, or what does it refer to? So the answer is, we'll see who it refers to. Because this incorporates the continuation of the pasuk that we began, with which we began in Mishle, that Al tikonis levesavicha biyoim eidcha, in his day of celebration, ayim de pagra, as it's called in Chazal, and as the old-timers would refer to it, the time of their celebrations, don't enter your brother's house. Now, which brothers should you stay away from? It's bad enough that you kind of severed yourself from your real friendships with, in this case, Hashem and Avraham Avinu. Who should you stay out of? Ze Yishmael ve'Esav. These are the brothers that we have to keep our distance from at all times, even when we're below par in our own performance. We must keep our distance from Yishmael and Esav, and obviously their descendants. Now, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and on this Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explained, Kishehegla Nebuchadnezzar Yisrael Levavel, when Nebuchadnezzar had exiled the Jews, or a majority of the Jewish nation, were exiled through him to Bavel. Hoyu kfusim me'achireyim. They were tied from behind. Their hands, I guess, were tied behind them. As it says, he brings in Medrashecha, you have that. There already the Radal tells us that is related to a Yishmael, that the Yishmaelim were the ones who were in charge there. And what did they do? It says in Midrashecha, a whole bit, it just says Kamosh Kosov Midrashecha, but I'm not going to, that's not in the volume we're using anyway, so I'm going to leave that for now. Add until it comes to the Pasuk, Ki Mipnei Chorvos Nadadu, because of the Chorvos, I'm just going to say now it means dryness, but there are other ways to learn. They wandered. Now, this, however, is a reference to a midrash that Rashi alludes to in Parshas Vayera. And I believe that's what we're alluding to as well over here, that there was a time when we were in exile and we were thirsting for water and we went into the desert, we met Yishmaelim, and they had canteens of water, or we had empty canteens, and we asked them for water. They said, sure, sure. They gave us full canteens that were only full of air. They were entirely bloated. The Jews would put it to their mouth, open it, and a strong air would go right into them, and many of them were killed from it. They were already starving and wandering as it is. So that's where you don't go to your brother Yishmael. You think God left you, God had forsaken you, you're going into Golus. Yishmael is not your solution. He's not going to give you any reprieve. Avichem, your father Yishmael, Shahaya Mushlach Bamidbar, he was cast away in the desert. Hashem says, Posachti loy ber mayim, I opened for him brunim vasar, a well of water. There was a well there that they didn't notice. Hashem opened up the eyes of Hagar, and suddenly there was a be'er, which, according to some in Chazal, the Sipurna alludes to, it's really Yerushalmi and Tainus, that which they use for finding lost objects, that no one sees until God opens up their eyes. So that's how the Sipurna there in the Chumash learns that pasuk too. But in any case, Yishmael was dying in the desert, and God gave him some water. Va'atem asisem kach, and you, the descendants of Yishmael, pull such a deadly prank on starving Jews. So havei, from this we say, toiv shochein korov me'ach rochok. This is also going into the pasuk. Sometimes a neighbor who is near you, and this, we'll see who that is soon. Here, right away, the Radal tells us, I mean, he goes into the Dover Acher, but we'll see. A good neighbor is better than a brother who is alienated from you. What he's saying over here is that Hashem was close to the Klal Yisrael. He was a good near neighbor because he had the Shechina dwell among us. And that's who is Korav Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Koreinu Eilov. We have an Elokim Krovim Eileinu, right? We're a nation. There's no nation that God is close to like us. So he is our Shochein Korav. God dwells with the Shechina among us and he's Korav to us. And Korav Hashem L'chol Korav. From an achrochok, from a relative who is estranged, i.e. Yishmael and his descendants. So that's the one example here. Now we'll come to the Dover Acher, which might lead us to our Parsha. As it often does, I think we're going to have the same pattern here. Tov Shochein Korov, who is the neighbor who is close? Who Yisro? It's Yisro. Shahaya rochak li Yisrael min Esav achiv shel Yaakov. He was a non-relative to us, certainly more than Esav, the brother of Yaakov. And what's with Yisro? We had a close relationship with him. We'll read about it in the Haftorah right before Purim, where Shaul is going to go, as his duty as an established king was, to wipe out Amalek. So when he goes to the area where Amalek was, the descendants of Yisro were there. And Maksiv, what does it say there by Yisro's descendants? Vayomer Shaul ala Keni. Shaul said to the Keni, who were descendants of Yisro, he gave them time to evacuate so that none of them get caught in the crossfire of battle between Shaul and his army with Amalek. So he had peace with them. He had them get out of the way. No human shields, right? I guess there wasn't a hypocritical UN then either. So he just told them, get out, you know. Human shields are kosher. Defending yourself isn't. Anyway, Be'esav Ksiv, but by Esav, his descendants, Amalek was a descendant of Esav. It says, Zachor es asher l'cha Amalek. Zolst gedenken, halten in undenk, you should keep in your memory what Amalek did to you, that he attacked you. And now he's going to give us a little bit of a contrast as to how far the relationship goes, to show you that even though Shaul called to the Keni to get away, that doesn't prove anything exclusively. Because I could easily argue that anyone who wasn't Amalek, who was in between, we would give them a warning to get away. Or does it mean giving them a warning gives the enemy time to prepare, so only because it was the Keni we gave them an alert, but Shaul wouldn't have alerted anyone? I don't know. Two possibilities. I don't know if that is compelling one way or the other. But we will find some more compelling things. So the Midrash continues. Ata motzei devarim rabim ksuvim be'esav legnai, uksuvim be'yisrael l'shvach. There are many other statements where you find a pronounced contrast between Esav and Yisro, where Esav is written in a way that is derogatory, but they're written similarly about Yisro and similar subjects in a praiseworthy way. What did Esav do to our women? Be'esav k'siv, by Esav it says, Noshim v'tzioninu. Women in Zion, they tortured. Esav mistreated the ladies, to put it mildly. Uve Yisroel k'siv, by Yisroel is the opposite. He met Moshe and he made a marriage. He was a facilitator of a permanent relationship. Vayitenes Tzipora Bito. He gave over his daughter Tzipora to Moshe. Be'esav, here it's concerning Esav, is written in Tehillim. Oich le'ami ochlu lechem. Those who devoured my nation, I'll just learn, devoured it like bread. That seems to be what it's saying. That's how I'm going to learn it. So they ate us like bread. We were their bread, so to speak. And whenever they could, whenever they had the upper hand, they devoured us like bread. But Yisro was the opposite. He shared with Moshe. He told his daughters, here's a man who rescued you from the Amaleki shepherds, also descendants of Esav. And he said, why did you forsake him? Why did you leave him out in the street? Kira noy v'yeichal lechem. Call him in and he'll have some bread. Now another way is about ongoing attitudes. Be'esav k'siv v'lo yarei elokim. By Esav, by Amalek, descendants of Esav, it says they had no awe of God when they attacked us. But Yisro came in today's Parsha and he said, Vitzivcho Elohim, God will mandate unto you how to organize your Beit Din system. That's at the end of the second Aliyah of the Parsha. So it's just the opposite. He knows that everything goes with God and with God's judgment. Elohim is the Midah of judgment, Midah Sadin. Now another contrast is Esav Bitilas HaKorbonos. Esav, his descendants revoked the Korbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. But by Yisro it says the opposite. Yisro facilitated Korbonos also in today's Parsha, right at the end of the first Aliyah. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe Olo Uzvachim. Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took a burnt offering and a shlomim offerings to and he sacrificed them to Hashem. Esav, what was with another important contrast? Esav shama b'yitziyosan shel Yisrael v'nilcham imahem. He heard about Klal Yisrael's exodus from Egypt, and he said, I'm going to wage a war. And despite of Kriyas Yamsuf, despite of the Makos, despite everything that was obviously awesome in its miraculous disposition, but Esav said, I'm going to fight anyway. K'dich shenemar v'yovo Amalek. Amalek came, we read last Shabbos. But what is the contrast to Yisro? Yisro shoma bishvochan shel Yisrael uvo v'nidbakimohim. Yisro heard, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, he heard about the praises of Israel. He didn't just look that they departed, he looked at Klal Yisrael, and he came and he cleaved with them. As it says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard. Now, I want to just say a little bit, this might be a little bit homiletic, but it's not very far. Later on. Here, it's not clear if he converted yet, but we know he did convert. Yeah. Now, what I would say over here about Yisro listening to the Shevach and coming and cleaving with them. I mean, here there's a famous thought. I mean, my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, said it, but the truth of the matter is the Kotzke Rebbe beat him to it by well over a century. They said it in Yiddish. The obvious question is, Yisro was not the only one who heard what happened. The whole world knows what happened. Nav moigu kol yeshvi knan, tipur lalei mimosov afachad, chilochas yeshvi ploshes. We say that every day, everyone was jarred by the great miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf especially. But what happened over here is, Yisro, Yisro heard. I mean, everybody heard. So the famous word from the Kotzker Rebbe is "Der Welt hat gehört, aber Yisro hat der hört." If you know your Yiddish, you know, or German, you know what it means. The world just heard it. Yisro really listened. Is a better way, the best way in English to put, simplest way. In other words, he heard what was in the message inside. He heard all the news. You can read the news, but if you really understand, if you're astute, whether it's a local political thing or international or whatever, you can read beyond what you heard. So the Shmi over here of Yisro was hearing beyond. That's why it affected him to the core. So that's in Yiddish, in short, that's the way the Kotzker Rebbe, they say, I wasn't there when he said it, but that's what they say in his name. And my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, said it also. I don't know if he didn't say it in the Kotzker Rebbe's name, which means either he once heard it and somehow it wasn't on his head to say, or he just never heard it, which is also possible, considering his background. Der Welt hat gehört, aber Yisroi hat der Herd. Even today, sometimes you hear semi-Yiddish speakers talk, they say, you get the der hair. Sometimes yeshiva bachim, I'm der herring to you, you know. It means I'm telling you something, but there's something inside of it. So Yisro heard what was inside. But they say another thought, which might not necessarily be from the Kotzker Rebbe. Yeah, I have a meeting in school, so I'm going to have to stop a little bit short. So the thing is like this. They say, Rashi, at the beginning of the parsha, it says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard. So Rashi says, Mashama, what did he hear? And that's the way Rashi connects Amalek. It says, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Sea of Reeds, and also he heard about the war with Amalek. So everybody asks, there are other things he could have heard about. The mun started coming down, there were 10 makos, but why two different examples like that? One is about a war and one's about a miracle. So Yisro said, they're worth sticking to with. Why? On one hand, God is on their side, but on the other hand, they came and they're like a ragtag people who didn't have any time to really develop a military or any type of state. And they went, they defended themselves, and they defeated Amalek. So he said, they're guys who both have God on their side and they also take care of themselves. So it could be over here, Esav heard, it says, when Klal Yisrael left. In other words, he didn't hear anything about Klal Yisrael. He just heard that God was on their side. What do they do? Who knows? Who says God will always be on their side? But Yisro didn't look at it at the rescue. He saw the praise of Klal Yisrael over here. And that's why he decided to cleave with us. That's what I would say.